ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Cricket Podcast time for your Friday. That's right, twice a week, right throughout the Ashes. Corbin Middlemass alongside former Aussie opener Ed Cowan, my podcast co-host. Hello, Teddy. Here we are again later in the same week.
Double shift, double pay.
Hey.
Hey, hey, we're on. Is it the, just, I know there's been a rebrand. Is it the ABC Cricket Podcast or just ABC Cricket Podcast?
I did a bunch of promos for this yesterday, which you'll hear spinning around. Despite the fact our last one was such a smash hit, I know we enjoyed that with our little corny back and forth. But I got told, forget the definite article. So straight into ABC Cricket Podcast. So don't worry about the on the front of it.
Dropped it like Pete Hanscom on Zero this week.
Yeah.
Didn't that cost New South Wales? My goodness.
Another win for the Big V. This run continues against yes. New South Wales. Of course, we are exactly 7 days away. So this time next week, Teddy, tick, 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 we'll be inside the final hour before the first ball is bowled in the 2025-26 Ashes Series. Cannot wait. Hamstring concerns. Key bowlers for both teams. So Josh Hazlewood, we learnt, nicking his hamstring. The medical staff saying, look, he's cleared. He's ready to go. His preparation will be unchanged leading into the first test in Perth. So he's right to continue his business. And Mark Wood sent for scans. The England statement reading out of that tour game yesterday that he is expected to bowl in 2 days' time. So expected to bowl again in 2 days' time. Precautionary scans. But you would think, gee, concerning for two guys, you know, well past their 30th birthday to all of a sudden be dealing with hamstring tightness at least a week out from the first test.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. I think we are in the world of precautionary scans. Anytime anyone sneezes and it hurts, they're off to check their hamstrings. So I expect both to be fine, Corb. They're big boys. They know their body. I think it was... realistically, more both of those players just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and everyone's on tender hooks at the moment around fitness of fast bowlers. So expect both of them to be rolled out. I think Hayes will be fine. I think he'll be bowling in the lead up. There's going to be no easing in for him.
That was the part I found interesting.
Bit of a non-story, I think.
Wow.
Abbott, on the other case, not good by the sense of things.
Just on the Hazlewood part of it. So the CA statement read, Hazlewood underwent precautionary scans, had him cleared of a muscle strain. He will train as planned in the lead-up to the first test. So I would have thought, yeah, looking from the outside in, this is just with my journo sports caster hat on, Teddy, that I would think that surely it wouldn't be as planned, that there would be at least some kind of steps taken. I think, look, if he's got hamstring tightness, he's 34 years of age, he's had injuries in the past, surely it would change the plan for him, at least in some respect, wouldn't it? A week out from the biggest test match of the year?
Yeah, maybe by a day or so. So you've got to remember, he's got to go from Sydney to Perth, so he's not bowling probably the day after. He's probably doing some light strength work and some remedial work, and then it'll probably be an extra day off as opposed to bowling day two and easing into it. And you can expect 2 days out from that test match for him to be running in, probably sending down somewhere between 60 and 70 balls in the nets at full pace to prime himself for what will be a not just a big test, but a big series. Do you know where I'm going to be for the first ball?
30,000 feet.
On a plane. So you're talking about all this excitement. I remember so vividly watching Rory Burns get his leg stump cartwheeled out of the ground at the Gabba 4 years ago. It is so vivid in my memory. And here I am.
How have you done that?
To get that build? I don't know.
Are you flying at least with an airline that has internet?
Live? Nothing. No. Oh, mate, I'm in the cheapos, American Airlines, not showing the cricket.
Can you believe in 2025 that there's still no internet on so many flights? I know I went with Qantas recently. They don't do it for international travel. I remember flying with, I think it was United, like going back to 2018, and they had it then. I'm going back like 7 years ago, there was internet on board.
The Soccer World Cup final, what was it, 2018?
Yeah.
Flying over Turkey on Turkish Airlines, live and free. Like, Crazy.
Incredible.
And here I am. I'm going to be checking, downloading my little Crib Australia app, checking as soon as I land.
Just on Mark Wood. So is this a concern? He's 35 years of age. As much as they say they expect him to bowl in 2 days' time, it's been 15 months since his last first-class game. So 15 months, hasn't played a competitive fixture since February. He bowls 8 overs, and at 35 years of age, hurts his hamstring and doesn't finish the day, ultimately. Surely there's a bit more concern there, isn't there, than the Hazelwood Tigers?
Oh, yeah. This is comparing apples with oranges, and sorry for the mini segue there. So Hazelwood coming off good workloads, got through all the one-day cricket into a Shield game, didn't quite finish, but he's there or thereabouts. Mark Wood at the other end of the spectrum, as you've just rightly pointed out. This is someone who has no body of work against their name, and not just in the last 15 months, but historically. He, basically has been rubber stamped out of back-to-back test matches. And so it's like, oh, this X-factor bowler that by all means is brilliant, but can't go the distance of two tests, let alone five. And so you can almost think of Archer and Wood as one bowler, and they'll either be rotated or try and get through five tests between them. Even that is a huge stretch, I think. I think there'll be test matches where neither of them play, particularly towards the back end. And for Mark Wood, this is, I think, a huge concern. So great pace. Obviously, the scan at the moment is fine, but it just points in the direction of someone who is probably a little bit underdone. And we know in Australia, even the best get worn down, even when the short test matches. We saw Bumrah last summer. It's a test of durability as it is of skill. And bowling in Australia is hard on the body. Those wickets under your foot when, 60 times or something, your body weight's going through your front ankle and front knee. It ain't pleasant. And so you got to be ready for that, and you got to be match hardened. And so Stark and Hazelwood match hardened, Wood, Archer not match hardened. And so it's going to be a very interesting watch in the lead up. I think there's a world where, he might get rested for Brisbane. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Coming up, by the way, we love to say this is the podcast that the Australian cricket team listen to. And certainly that was proved last year, Teddy, when you decided to make a few comments about a golf trip over in Dubai, and that was pretty quickly picked up, and you got a nice little selfie from the dressing room from the boys after their victory in Sri Lanka in comprehensive fashion. So Fletcher Doherty, our hardworking producer of this program for a long time now, has caught up with a number of the guys from the Australian cricket team and asked them about our little podcast. So that
is this a stitch up?
This is coming
this
up.
This is a stitch up.
That's what we call a forward promote in the industry. But
you are kidding, mate. What is going on here? This sounds like a classic stitch up. I'm going to kill you, Fletcher.
Stick around for that. There's a CA11 name, the Shield, we'll get to in just a moment. But that's the injury news up front on Hazelwood and on Wood as we watch that for the next 7 days and the old race against time story, which we love in the press. We might just start with that tour game. So what else came out of it? Obviously, day one complete. It's a 3-day match.
Is it a game? Are you calling it a game? I'm calling it a net session with no nets.
The Lions.
It's an intra-squad trial.
One thing I know for sure, it looks like it gave us a little bit of an insight into what the England team will look like. Pope at three and the four quicks. They got absolutely hammered. So the Lions, the baby England, the baby Bazballers, 382 they posted inside 80 overs. Five guys made half centuries. Joe Root, who's really their only spinning option, bowled 14 overs, went for 117 off his 14 overs. One wicket each for Archer, Atkinson and Tung. Big deal, no big deal that the England quicks got pumped around Lilac Hill.
Oh, it's really a toss of the coin where this falls. I don't really know what to make of it. I said on Monday, I don't like this preparation at all. I think this is going to be one of those kind of watershed moments that they look back on when they lose the Ashes that, happened, incorrectly. And, there'll be a whole range of lines and excuses rolled out at that point in time. But it's a cobweb kind of dust off. There's only so much bowling you can do in the nets. They haven't even done a heap of that. And so the more rhythm you can get in games, the better, and yet they're going to be back to the nets in 3 days' time in the lead-up to the first test. So I just don't get it. I just don't understand why they haven't had players out here playing proper cricket for longer periods of time. So I don't know what to make of it, really. I don't know. I mean, the highlights I saw, it literally looked like kids in the park having a bit of fun.
What about Ben Stokes, which I saw this referred to as maybe the worst sixer of all time. So he took six wickets, all six of them from mistimed crossbat shots. So it was caught on the left side. I don't know if you've seen the highlights of those, Teddy, but
I did.
He almost looked a little embarrassed for wickets five and six, and all of a sudden he had these, you know, nice numbers against his bowling figures. But it
might be the only wickets he takes on tour, serving up that rubbish halfway down the wicket.
6 for 52 off 16 overs. I mean, it's good to see him bowling at least. Obviously, he missed.
It is. He's one of their box office players that we love to watch. He's a tough competitor, but if you think his bowling's going to be successful in Australia, it's moving the ball from the top of the stumps. It ain't digging in halfway. He doesn't have the pace, maybe as the surprise ball every now and again, but, you know, taking the ball consistently away from the left-hander, from over the wicket, he can be a tricky proposition. And also, you know, that ball that he can get to straight into the right-hander. So, you know, whether they were in intentional bounces, and half of them didn't look that intentional, I think that's what he was a bit embarrassed by. They were like what you'd call drag downs. And so, yeah, if he's bowling bulk overs, I think it's a good sign for Australia in the test match.
Will Jack's got 84. Well, obviously, we'll get a chance to see Jackson Bashir bowl today, whether they can try and force their way in. But do you get the sense that's going to be the team, the four quicks, and Stokes will obviously bowl himself, and the only really slow bowling option they'll have will be Root if they don't pick Bashir or Jax. Is there a little tell in that the first 11 didn't have either of the spinners in it?
Yeah, we kind of alluded to this when the squad was announced, I don't know, was it two and a half months ago, in that the most likely outcome, particularly early in the series, is all fasties with Root filling in, and maybe Will Jax, who's a hard-hitting middle-order batter, to bowl some... Probably, you know, they're no better or worse than Joe Root's off spinners, realistically, but it gives them a bit more flexibility. So, three fast bowlers, a bit more batting in Jax and Stokes to fill in some overs. I think that's probably a better balanced team. I think they're going to need the runs more than the wickets. We've seen the style of wickets that are going to be rolled out, particularly at the Wacker, maybe less so in Brisbane with the pink ball test. So, I think there's a world where he plays and runs are good for him. He's going to be picked on the back of his runs, not his wickets, and it'll just depend, I think. So that's the two makeups of the team. Without seeing the wicket, you get a sense, given that Nathan Lyon played absolutely no part in the test match in Perth last year, there's a world where they go four fast bowlers. But I actually would flip that coin and say you're better off with a bit of extra batting with three fast bowlers. You need when the ball's nipping around, you don't need more bowling. You need more batting. And so take the extra batter. You've got three bowlers plus Stokes already. And so I think that's a far better team with Jax in it.
A couple of young guns amongst the runs too. So Ben McKinney, who's a 21-year-old out of Durham, got a half century. And Thomas Rue, R-E-W, who's made 55. He's a 17-year-old from Somerset. Yeah. So a couple of names to look out for perhaps amongst the England Lions.
Get back to school. Summer in Australia.
Pope looks like he's going to start, isn't he? He's lost the vice captaincy, but he'll start the series and whether he ends it or not.
So I think you're probably right. I think in terms of start, yeah, you know, it was probably between him and Bethel.
Yeah.
Bethel's playing in the Lions. I think Pope starts, but, you know, under scrutiny, you'd put in brackets.
All right, Shield cricket. Huge round of Shield cricket. Obviously, Star started 14 of the 15 in the Test squad featuring. Cam Green was the name that we highlighted on Monday. He was the guy that we were looking forward to seeing play. Made 94. Brave umpire to give him out. He was triggered with a ball nipping back in from Michael Nisa, so out for 94. WA declaring 68 behind. But really, the real reason we wanted to focus on this game was what Cam Green did with the ball, Teddy. So eight overs in the first innings. He's bowled eight overs already in the second innings. WA will come back and try and get those last two wickets on the morning of day four. So he might seem a little more yet, but 16 overs already for Cam Green, along with 90-odd in the game.
Yeah, let's just park the runs for a little bit. Keen to get your views, but, you know, watching the joy of being in the US at night time, I get to log in and watch some Shield cricket on the mega wall. It was the pace at which he bowled. It wasn't just eight overs of I'm going to get through some workloads. The ball was absolutely zinging. And so, you know, what it says to me is he's ready to go. As long as he pulls up okay, they were 16 proper overs. That was not workload management. That was full tilt, you know, assigned to the captain and the selectors that I'm fit, and a credit to the medical staff.
Yep.
And so with that in mind, I think I'm prepared to reveal my team, which is
wow.
Cam Green bats at 6, Marnus bats at 3, and they're going to play the extra batter in debutante Jake the Snake Weatherald.
So that's where I was on Monday. I feel like I've now gone in the other position, almost on the back of the Hazelwood concern, and maybe I'm a little more jittery on that than you are, that if you go in with Hazelwood with some kind of a question mark, even if, you know, with this exposed form in the background, and then also Green, albeit looked excellent, as you said, and has done everything you could possibly ask of him. But given his injury history with the ball, Hazelwood's injury, is there a chance you're left with, you know, just Stark and Boland along with Lyon at one point, that maybe having Webster just for that extra insurance with the ball might sort of count against Weatherald a little bit?
It's a good point. I mean, it will count against him. My determining factor is I think Hazelwood's going to be fine. I think he's got 30 plus overs in him,
and
he won't need that. He won't need that many.
And let's be honest, they know that better than us, don't they? As they often say that they'll know the health of him, and if that is the case, and if you'd said to me at the start of the week, Green looks like this, I would have said, oh, okay, Webster misses, Weatherald's playing. That's my team. But I think maybe compounded by the Hazelwood factor, it's sort of just made me, a little bit more nervous.
The other call-out from that game, Matthew Renshaw. I know you've been a Renshaw bear for some time off the back of the last couple of summers. And then the whispers started coming, oh, maybe he's going to open the batting. And it was at the time, it was based on his middle-order one-day form. And we thought it was a little ridiculous, these whispers, as they started getting a bit louder and a bit louder. So he got 100 earlier in the year in the Shield in October. I think it was round one, probably, I think, from memory. And then he got a pretty good 100 in this game. So that's now 200s in some form. They've got another opener in the squad, obviously. But all of a sudden, if you were doing your, you know, 0 to 10 rankings for who's next in, Renshaw's going to be up there alongside a few other names. So it's good for Australian cricket that we've gone from no one opening the batting to a few names that, you know, you can genuinely see a line of sight to playing Test cricket in the near future. And it puts some pressure on Khawaja to churn a few runs out.
Yeah. Going back a few months, it looked as if the cupboard was bare, didn't it, on the batting front. And now all of a sudden there's a bunch of guys, Campbell Callaway, who we've spoken about on Monday, and now Renshaw's in that conversation. I guess my only beef with Renshaw in the past is it felt like there was this chorus of people in Australian cricket that were, any time he did something that was remotely sneaked, successful, or had an innings that all of a sudden looked crash hot, they wanted to immediately thrust his name forward. And that speaks to what a talent he is. And for people that saw him coming through at such a young age, thinking, we know that this guy's a test cricketer and he can succeed at that level. But I just found it hard when he had a 2 in front of his average, where you all of a sudden found, geez, are we really talking about this guy in test calculations? But good on him. Fair play to him. We've seen what he's capable of here. And just to highlight how good a nick he's in and how Cam Green's going, Cam Green hit him on the arm at one point as well and hurried him up. So you talk about speed and what he was able to do. He looked really good.
Yeah, Green looked 140 plus at times, for sure.
All right, we'll park the WA game. Obviously, that's still very much on the line, but there's a couple of headlines to come out of it with the form of Renshaw and also Green out of that game. A little half century for Xavier Bartlett with the bat as well, and Marnus Labuschagne got a half century in the first innings, dragged one on in the second dig, and Cam Bancroft with 76 as well. WA obviously still to bat for a second time today as we record this on the Friday. Victoria and New South Wales. So Victoria, a 300-run victory over New South Wales at the SCG. They only needed 8 wickets in the second innings, obviously given the absence to the Hurt, Abbott and Hazelwood. But New South Wales chasing 426 were rolled for 125 inside 40 overs. Steve Smith on a tricky wicket with half centuries in each innings. He ended up 56 not out in the second dig. And that obviously extends that dominant run for Victoria against New South Wales in Shield cricket.
It was an old-fashioned spanking. Victoria disciplined, grounded out on day one in decent batting conditions. Jack Edwards dropped Peter Hanscom on 0. He went on to make 100. I think while he was batting, 290 runs essentially got got put on and they lost by 300. So, you know, in many ways, that catch was a pivotal moment. But they got outplayed totally. They batted, not, I don't know what's worse than poor. They were pathetic, actually, apart from Smith. And, you know, there was a crack in the middle of the pitch. Maybe it was one day over-prepared, but it was a pretty good place to play cricket for 2 days and deteriorated pretty quickly on day three. So, I mean, that's a massive win victory. You got Stark, Hazelwood, massive. Abbott, Smith, Phillippe, pick your name Postus. Of Australian players.
This used to happen.
And they got absolutely poleaxed.
I remember as a kid, I used to go along to the WACA ground and watch all my favourite WA players, and that was when they were absolutely loaded. You know, Langer and Gilchrist and Hogg and everyone else that rolled out for this team over many years, Hussey. And it felt like whenever all the stars came back, they would struggle. I mean, you've obviously lived through it as a New South Wales player playing in these loaded lineups. What is it about the fact that when all the national guys come back, that it doesn't always necessarily translate to victories in a way that you'd think?
Yeah, it happens more than you think. And even playing against New South Wales teams for Tasmania, I remember a game when Clark and Haddon and take your pick, and we played a game and Alex Doolan scored one of the great hundreds of all time on a deteriorating wicket to win the game. So, and I think I said it on Monday when you're like, oh, New South Wales will win this fixture. I was like, whoa, hold on. It's not as easy as that. And I think the inputs into this are, it's very hard when teams are chopping and changing to play as a team, and there's low cohesion in those teams, and people are playing for different reasons. So Hazelwood and Stark, they bust their gut, no doubt, but they are in test prep mode, make no mistake. Smith's having, one last, are you right?
Sorry, I'm fighting off a sneeze. Keep going.
No, that's all right. Sneeze.
I can control my mic.
Okay. Smith's in touch and just trying to continue his run, but trying to win the fixture, there's no doubt about that, but there's just different incentives. You've got young players, Salzman hurt himself, and so you've got Ryan Hicks making a second game, just trying to make a name for himself. He's got to open the batting. You've got Curtis Patterson, who thinks he might be in test selection, if he can get some runs, and has had, I think, 8 single-digit scores in his last 10 hits. So there's just so many competing factors compared to Victoria, same team as the last 4 weeks that they've won, high cohesion, everyone knows their role, everyone knows what they've got to do, and they turn up and they're playing to win for the team and team first. So it's just different dynamic.
A couple of performances here. So Boland got the 3 wickets, but basically went at no more than 2 and over the whole way through. He got Sam Constis, 6th. Time that he's got him. I'm like, how's he even played against him 6 times or had 6 innings against him? But
there some stat that's like 25% of his first class dismissals are to Scott Boland or something?
What is it about him that so he's,
he moves the ball back in? Yeah. Like there's a big deficiency in Sam's game. And I actually got a message from someone saying, can you stop talking about Sam Constance? You do it too often. So we'll keep this short. But the technical breakdown
wasn't George Bailey, was it?
No, it wasn't George Bailey. So, anyone that can move the ball in is going to be a chance, and that's bowl and stock ball, and he bowls it consistently.
Yep.
Pitchy on four stump, coming into off stump, and you got to be ready for it. And there's a big gap in the technique there.
Some other performances to call out. You mentioned Pete Hanscom. So 104. He's got 200s and 450s across formats to start the summer. So come back from Leicestershire.
We're hearing it. Are you calling?
I'm not. No. I'm just. It's
about a little Victorian push. It's 30th nice. Test 100. I mean, what a career. Yeah. Phenomenal.
He's nice to see good things happen to good people. Like, he's one of the nice guys of Australian cricket. He loves the game. He's been captaining Leicestershire, I think, over in the UK. They're up to Division 1 on the back of some of his performances over there. Got a couple of hundreds playing for them, so well done to him. We spoke about Kellaway earlier in the week, so we'll park that for now. Marcus Harris got a second innings 50. Nathan Lyon picked him up in both innings, one of his former teammates, of course, at national level. And Sam Elliott, son of Matthew Elliott, of course, 5 for 26 from 8.4 overs in the first innings, and then got 3 in the second innings, including Steve Smith's wicket in the first dig. So he was the only man to get him out in this fixture, but 8 wickets for the match at 50 runs or something for Sam Elliott. So not a batsman like his old man, but certainly
good cricket. Same height as his old man. He's a tall kid. But Smith's bat looked wide. on a wicket that was, you know, tricky at times, moving sideways and up and down. He didn't miss the middle of it.
Do you reckon he's ready and motivated for the summer ahead, where all this talk about, can Joe Root get 100 in Australia? Can he underline his status as the best batsman in the world and all the rest of it? Imagine Steve Smith would be nodding along thinking, oh, okay, cool, let's...
Pencil him in. And the good news is, hopefully he's not walking in at 2 for 40. You know, if Marnus is at 3 and in good form, you know, hopefully 2 for 100. If he's walking out to bat at 2 for 100, look out, folks.
Most Ashes runs by anyone since Don Bradman for Steve Smith. So, goes to show what...
Where'd you get that? Did you get that in the ABC Cricket magazine?
That's out. You can pick one of them up as well, so don't worry about that. Last game, by the way, I know we've got to get to our little audio snippets that are coming through from the Australian cricket locker room. Reigning champ South Australia chasing 217 to win. They win by 3 wickets against Tasmania in Hobart. So they were 5 for 88 at one point with Head and Carey both out. But Liam Scott and Ben Benenti got them there. Webster picking up 3 second innings wickets in a losing cause. Ended up with 8 in the match. Got a 5 in the first dig. He got Travis Head in both innings. And he got Alex Carey as well in the second dig. And Nathan McSweeney opened in this game. There was a few little talking points, but what in particular caught your eye, Teddy?
Well, I think the headline talking points, Webster's 8 wickets, but I'm kind of not that interested. I know, not to take anything away, because it's a phenomenal effort, but I'm less interested in that when it comes to Bo Webster's cricket, because I think batting at 6 and bowling a few fill-in overs, we know he can bowl, you know, 8 or 10 overs from a health point of view and take a few wickets. So as opposed to, you know, he's a strike bowler now almost for Tasmania and doing a phenomenal job. I think he needed some big runs, if anything, to put a bit of pressure on that selection conversation, and he hasn't had them. So that was one talking point. I think the Travis Head talking point that we alluded to on Monday, you know, that's, I don't know, it's over 10 innings since he scored a 50 in any format. So, you know, he'll probably come out and get 200 off 120 balls in the first test, save him for when they matter, Travis. So no problems with that. But it is, you know, just bubbling away in the background. But, you know, the talisman, Ben Benenti, South Australia were dead here. They should have lost this game. Tassie let it slip through their fingers, had them on toast.
Just on Travis Head then, level of concern. So you've flagged it, sort of one being...
You know those fire ratings, and it goes from
fire danger,
something to moderate to extreme. I'm in like I'm in that middle moderate camp.
Yep.
Yeah. But there's a watch. Yeah. Let's put the watch on. That's what you folks in the media do. You put watches on.
Yep.
The watch is on.
Happy with that. Brendan Doggett, by the way, so 13 wickets at 14 since returning from his hamstring injury. He is now really the only reserve quick in the squad, with some doubt around Hazelwood, depending on how much doubt there actually is. Interestingly, with Abbott's injury, and terrible luck for him, by the way, so all the best and a speedy return for Sean Abbott. But all of a sudden, Brendan Doggett's one injury away from putting a baggy green on his head.
He is. And you know, pretty close, for sure. But there's nothing like right place, right time when you're a fast bowler. And there's someone that's been on the radar. He's there or thereabouts, but he's fit, he's healthy, and he's bowling well. You're in.
Yeah. I would have thought, too, Doggett was more the cover for Stark, and Abbott would have been more the cover for Hazelwood and Cummins / Boland.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I think they've now seen enough from Doggett that he's bowling well enough, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I think it's time.
Okay.
Can we bring in Fletch? Fletcher Doherty.
I'm worried here. Hardworking producer. It's okay producer. If the change room hate you. He's part of the media, but for me, these my old teammates and friends.
I'm expecting is that it's going to be positive. So I don't know where this hate and this negativity comes from. But what have you got for us, Fletch?
Thank you, Corby, and hello to all our beloved listeners. Yeah, look, as you guys know, I wear a few hats at the ABC. Obviously, my favourite of those hats is producer of this wonderful podcast.
But yes.
Part of my annual duties is I coordinate and run our media day with the Australian cricket team. As a broadcast rights holder, we get to spend a few days with the cricketers, do some interviews, some promotional content and all that jazz. And as we enter what's going to be our biggest ever summer as a podcast unit, I thought now was as good a time as any to see if the cricketers had any thoughts on our podcast. I asked them if they were listeners, if they were fans even, and then if they had any feedback or some advice for our coverage of the Ashes. I was pleasantly surprised by how many of them were listeners, and I've picked four players that I thought I'd give you guys a bit of a ride of reply, and I don't know, there's no better place to start than with Pat Cummins, so I think I'll play you each one player and then pause and then get your guys' thoughts. So without further ado, here's the great man, Captain Pat.
I'd say feedback, I think just things aren't always black and white. So when you just, you might not have all the facts, so don't pretend that you got all the facts sometimes, which might make for a boring podcast, but I think just see it, call as you see it. Don't get caught up in what everyone else is doing. And it's a 5-test match series, so be in it for the long haul.
I mean, feedback's a gift, so you know, I'll take that on board, Corb. What do you make of that? Oh, well, I can give my immediate reaction if you want.
I think there's a little reference in there to maybe the reaction after the Perth test last year, which is
interesting.
Yeah, I think that was the test match goes for 5. I actually thought, if anything, in retrospect, I thought it looked worse on them the longer it went on, that clearly they were underprepared in Perth, and then the sort of series caught up with them that they didn't. And then this year they've obviously made adjustments. Everyone's playing Shield cricket and so on and so forth. But everything's not black and white, but call it as you see it.
That's a bit of an oxymoron, one might suggest. I mean, my only response to that is, you know, unfortunately, the Australian cricket team at times have put shades of grey around their team. And so sometimes the lack of transparency and the opacity that goes on around information flow, you can only join the dots. And we've talked about this before. So we're trying to provide comment, and yet there's no facts that flow through. And so you can only join those dots. And sometimes those dots join you to the right answer. And of course, sometimes when you join those dots, it leads you to the wrong answer. In both those cases, you have to join the dots to take a black and white view. And you're right, it would be very boring to live in the shades that, unfortunately, their media manager sometimes lets us play in. But the feedback is important. We'll take that on board. I get feedback from the players the whole time, particularly when they're not happy. While I'm going here, his reaction, I've heard a few quotes. And so I guess this is what I say to players that are not necessarily happy. So Fletch does a great job of grabbing things for social media to amplify this podcast, to create a top of funnel, you know, capture for new listeners.
Yep.
But often the conversation we have is pretty balanced. And so while the headline quote might, seem to grab some attention, I think we're pretty balanced, and so I'd probably encourage Pat to listen to the whole podcast or the whole conversation. And often when players have called me and said, "Hey, mate, I heard your quote and I'm pretty disappointed with that," I was like, "Have you listened to the whole conversation? When you do, call back." And they do, and they say, "Oh, actually, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought." And you know, so I think we're reasonable at the best of times. We're not here to take pot shots. I know as much as anyone how hard the bloody game is. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's my first diatribe.
And I don't know, if I took some pot shots, Teddy, you'd be pretty quick to shoot me down. So I've got to put my hands up and protect myself at all times. But we're a pretty thin-skinned bunch sometimes in the media. So we're happy to hear some feedback as well on the way through.
Absolutely, we are.
What else you got for us, Fletch?
All right. Here's Uzi.
I wouldn't say I'm a listener. I come to my socials here and there. I mean, I'm good mates with Eddie. I've played a lot of cricket with Eddie, and they have a lot of respect and love for Eddie. So, it's probably why. If it was anyone else, I'd probably like scroll. I'd probably listen to it here and there because of Eddie. Has he told you the fast Eddie get ready story? Ask him to tell you the Mo Matthews fast Eddie get ready story. It's a build up. It's one of my favourites.
Great. I mean, again, there we go. The social content, they see the clips. And I get that for people I've played with, it's probably a bit more sensitive if we're talking about Usman. But I love Usman like a brother. So I think if he hears something negative as a quote, it probably, and rightly so, you know, I'm not being as thoughtful and it cuts deep, but yeah. We need to always give an opinion.
All right, enough of that. Get to the actual point as well. We're looking for what's the story?
Oh, the story. No, that's a lot, mate. That's a Greg Matthews story.
You can't leave us. You've got to jump. Give us a 45 second version.
Okay, I'll give the Twitter version. But I'm playing club cricket. I'll speak in 1.5 times speed as well. With Greg Matthews, who is absolutely, as we all know, off the hook, crazy. And so he is bowling, I think it might have been to Phil Jakes at the time. And I'm standing at first slip, and he goes, okay, the whole setup is on for Matthews to Jakes. He's like, Jakesy, I'm going to bowl you an off-spinner, man. Jakesy, you know, pats it back. Next one's an offie too, man. Get ready. Just going to turn a little bit. Sure enough, turns a little bit, middle of the pad. He goes, Jakesy, arm ball, Teddy, fast Teddy, get ready, man. Get those hands ready, man. This one's coming to you, man. I'm like, oh, my God, Mo, shut up. Sure enough, arm ball, Nick, straight to me. Mo, aeroplanes out to square leg.
That's a lot.
Moe Matthews has still got it. He's still got it, giving high fives to the umpires. So Greg Matthews, probably age 47 at the time, mad scenes.
That's a late. So, I can't wait to ask Phil Jakes about that too, about how that story went from the other side of things. Last time I saw Greg Matthews, by the way, was at the Light Brigade, and he was wearing a West Indian sweater, like a one that had actually been on a test arena. It had like a long sleeve with the West Indies logo. It was white and cable knit and everything else.
Oh, so. Man, why not wear your test sweater to the pub?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Sammy K.
Yeah, big fan of Ed Cowan. He's a good friend of mine, and yeah, massive fan of the podcast. Maybe if I could get involved, maybe if you can, yeah, I'd love to get involved in your podcast and yeah, share my opinions.
Special guest, okay.
Special guest,
and any advice for Teddy and Corb?
No advice for both of them. They're too good, best in the business. They got experience. They know what they're talking about. Nothing much has to be said. Pay me later.
I was about to say, I'd like to revisit everything I've ever said about K-Gun and take it all back.
Mate, I'm his biggest fan. That's why he gets 20 minutes of airtime.
Heck, no wonder he loves the pod. He's a huge part of it. We'll happily have him drop by for an episode, for sure.
He's got a bit of time on his hands.
Fastest rising star in Australian cricket.
All right, last one. This is Bo Webster.
I texted Ed about the when that stuff was going on about the handshake gates when they tried to call the game off. And there was a game that I played against Eddie, and they tried to call the game off against us. Aforementioned James Faulkner wanted to get 100, and Eddie spat the dummy and bowled his leg spin and was getting hit out of the ground and some choice words there. So I texted him straight after that. I said, "Do you remember this game?" He said, "Of course I do." Didn't bring it up though, so that was one that I wanted to. Oh, and when I see it in person, I'll chat to him about. It was funny. No, I think they're doing a good job. It's actually, I'm good mate with Ed, so I do like listen to what he has to say. He's always got an opinion on something. Whether at least he's got something to say about a game, which I enjoy.
Do you remember the game?
True story. I absolutely remember the game. I was absolutely steam coming out my ears. I remember it well. And then literally served up some pies so that Jimmy Faulkner could get his 100 quicker so that we could all go home.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what the game's meant to be. This is a cheap 100, Jim. This is a cheap 100.
Did your thoughts there align with your same thoughts in that India-England series?
I think the play he was trying to make was,
he was all over.
You see, there seems to be a divergence in your views from when you were playing to when you're commentating. I was like, hey,
love it.
Slug, you got me. I'm on the ropes here. But Bo Webster, one thing if he doesn't play, aside from the runs, he's a real culture carrier. In every team he plays in, whether it's Tasmania, and you've seen immediate impact in the Australian team. And when I talk to Green playing this test, I think Webster will play probably three of the five tests at some point and still lots of test cricket ahead of him. So there we have it.
Yep. Hey,
did you enjoy that? I found that very awkward. I don't know if you can tell from my face. That was a very awkward 10 minutes.
So the part
did you enjoy it because I felt awkward?
Yes. And I was about to say that the part I enjoyed the most, I think, was watching you, watching that. Mm. So that's what I enjoyed. I knew that more of it was going to come directed towards you, and you're obviously in that position where you have the relationship with them, and as you said, that comes with some pros and cons. It's great for us. You will get tremendous insight, and we love how... you do call it, as you say, Teddy's so often on this podcast. Well done to Fletch, too, for the contact capture. Yeah. And thanks to the guys as well for being good sports about it and their cooperation. And I think that's the thing we always need to point out, particularly someone in my job. I've never been out there at that level. We have an enormous amount of respect for what they do.
I would say the willingness to capture some personality around this team, there's lots of different contracts. So ABC obviously has our content capture. It happens on the same day, and there are other, broadcasters and podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. There is some excellent content that comes out. And go back 10 years, and everyone was so worried about showing any personality whatsoever. You see Marnus and Mitch Marsh now and Bo Webster. That's exactly who they are. And the type of personality they are, and we actually get, great insight and humor often that emerges from that. So it's bloody good that's their attitude to it.
Absolutely. Just a couple of other things to tie a bow on before we get out of here. Test cricket on tonight. So if you are looking for some test cricket, India and South Africa, the world champions. So that is at Eden Gardens in Kolkata. And it made me think, gee, it's been way too long, hasn't it, since Australia played a test match at Eden Gardens. 2001 is the last time the Aussies played there. These things go on a bit of a cycle, so I'm always on the lookout for this before Australia next tour as to sort of who's getting tests now and will they come back around the next time we get to India. And Eden Gardens and Bangalore are two in particular I'd love to see the Aussies play test matches at again. South Africa have lost 6 of their last 7 tests in India. There's also an interesting stat here, Teddy, I saw on Crick Info. Shubman Gill's won 1 toss in 7 tests as captain, while South Africa have lost the toss in their last 7 tests they've played in India, period. So one of those two streaks is going to break, you would think, at the toss, unless it comes down exactly on its side. But first of 2 test matches in India tonight.
The old 2-test series between the reigning world champions and the behemoths of world cricket, India. Surely that could be a 4 or 5-test series, honestly.
Sri Lanka involved in a terrifying incident over in Islamabad. So I don't know if you've caught up with this, but there was a suicide bombing. Several members of the Sri Lankan team reportedly asked to come home. Sri Lankan cricket, this is the headline on Crick Info, threatened players with a formal review if they leave Pakistan over security concerns. The coach, Sanath Jayasuriya, who's also, of course, a legend of Sri Lankan cricket, said support staff were very clear that we wanted to stay and complete the tour. We heard the players' concerns and made sure we addressed them at length. So the 2 remaining ODIs pushed back a day, November 14 and November 16. And then there is a T20 tri-series, which I know you're looking forward to, with Zimbabwe to join in. So that whole series is now going to be played in Rawalpindi. So there were some games initially scheduled for Lahore, but try and confine it to at least one bubble. But this is going to go ahead, and the party's going to stay together for the Sri Lankan touring team.
Yeah, that's a tricky one to comment on. For our younger listeners, the reason why no international cricket was played in Pakistan for the better part of 15 years was because the Sri Lankan tour were targeted in a terrorist attack and people lost their lives. And, that is not just a physical reaction that those players would have had, but there would be a psychological and emotional reaction as to what's happened in the past as well. So that's a really tough spot to be in. I'm shocked that was the reaction of the Sri Lankan board. Usually it's no problem. Do what you need to do and, people can stay if they opt in. But that doesn't make much sense to me.
That incident in 2009, 5 players injured, 8 people killed in the process. So, as you said, that terrifying set of circumstances going back a few years now. And just lastly, the WBBL continues. There is coverage of this available through the ABC Listen app. The Hurricanes winners by 6 wickets with more than 3 overs to spare against the Sixers. Elise Perry and Alyssa Healy were both at the crease. They were 1 for 64 in the 9th over, and in the end, the Sixers just got over 150, and that wasn't enough with Lizelle Lee and Danny White Hodge able to make huge inroads into that. They were none for 95 in the chase. Perry bowled 1 over. She was the 4th bowler used, none for 15, wasn't used again after that, so not a good outing for her. The Hurricanes just quietly have a little crew they've put together, so Lee, White, Siva Brunt, Carey, Graham, Villani down at 6. So Molly Strano, they got a crew.
A very good team. Well, they gave the Thunder a touch up, and then the Sixers, who are you know, star studded. Also, obviously, as you just mentioned, took them down pretty easily in the end.
Who wins the game at the Wacca before we get out of here?
I think WA win.
Ooh, it's well set up. So Queensland resuming 8 for 180. The lead in that game is about 250. So WA need the last 2 wickets and then go and try and hunt them down on the final day of play. Teddy, enjoy your weekend in the States. I will chat to you on Monday, of course, 2 a week, right throughout the Ashes, plus at the end of every day's play right here on ABC Cricket Podcast.
Can't wait. Every day except the first day when I'm at 30,000 feet, but we do have a guest replacement.
We'll be here. Unfortunately, you won't be. Have a good weekend, Teddy. Chat to you on Monday.
Later, Corp.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.